Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Super Bowl's only a few days away. Perloff and myself down here in New Orleans on Radio Row. Welcome to the show. Day two in New Orleans, Perloff, and all anyone can talk about is whether or not the Chiefs are still getting favorable calls by the referees and whether or not this entire game, I guess, is some kind of charade, a facade, that there's already been a predetermined outcome that the Chiefs are going to win. I mean, I kid a little bit, but Roger Goodell was answering questions about that yesterday.
Of course he is. And you sort of half laugh when you say that. Talk to not any football fan, but you understand there's a large chunk of American football fans who think that there is an officiating bias.
Okay.
Large chunk.
Okay. But do those same people, and we're talking across the country to lots of smart football fans, do you think that bias exists in every other sport, A, and B, do you think that it's, you know, literally determining the outcome of the game, or do you think that these biases are home field biases, you know, a little bit of the home cooking, a little home court advantage, or do you think that it's actually something where, not that they're sitting around the commissioner's office and deciding who's going to win this game. I think that's patently ridiculous. They leaned into this in a funny way with a commercial many years ago about the air quotes script. They started doing a no hands catch, you know, and all these silly things to try to make fun of it. But I don't think that this, like, I don't think this is all rigged. I think there is a little home cooking. I think that happens in every single sport. And I think that's why teams fight so hard to get home field advantage, because you know those 50-50 calls may go your way.
We're in New Orleans right now.
Yes, we are. I know.
As far as I know, Kansas City Chiefs do not play in New Orleans. Do you not think that Patrick Mahomes is going to... First of all, it's more star treatment than home field. I think it's the Mahomes factor. But one thing I disagree with, like, officiating does determine the winner. Like, some people say that teams should not talk about officiating, but let's face it, the way the NFL is set up right now, it's such a thin margin because of the salary cap. Games are so close and calls are so important. I think the NFL sets himself up for trouble in so many ways with officiating. First of all, roughing the passer is a disaster. Yeah. Their safety rules are so impactful. Basically, you work so hard to get a sack and you give the other team a first down. So that, I think, fans have a huge problem with. Defensive pass interference is just very impactful, but you can throw a 60-yard pass and get a penalty. It goes, and you just know the Eagles Chiefs is going to come down officiating. So just the idea that officiating is not critically important. I'm not sure that's exactly what you're saying.
No, I think
but
it's
it is
important.
Critically important. So if it balances one way just a little bit, that is a big deal.
I thought you were bringing up the fact that we're in New Orleans and we've got a lot of very nice people around here, you know, troopers and people who are keeping us safe. I thought you were bringing up the fact that the NFC Championship game, the Saints got hosed on a call. But let's be fair.
That's a good point. I actually should have done that.
A lot more football after that terrible call happened.
No. See, we're not even having a discussion. If you think there was any other factor in that game, that was the pass interference game.
It was a huge call. It was also Drew Brees against Jared Goff. I'm just saying.
That was the game.
It was a terrible, terrible call. But here's the thing about the Chiefs and about the whole league. Let's hear from Goodell first, Manny. Let's play a little of Roger Goodell's press conference from yesterday where he was answering questions about the fact that the Chiefs get these sort of favorable calls. So let's hear first the commissioner saying that this is all ridiculous.
I think the men and women that officiate in the NFL are outstanding. They have the highest possible standards. That's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously. But at the end of the day, it's something we always have to continue to work on. How do we make our officiating better at all times?
More from Goodell saying that the Chiefs' conspiracies remind him of those NFL script conversations.
Sort of reminds me a little bit of the script, right? That I write a script and I have the script for the entire season. Listen, I think from a lot of those theories are things that happen in social media and they get a new life.
So he also went on to say that the fact that on TV you have rules analysts, you know, people that are hired by the network's former officials who are like the Gene Steratores or whatever, who sit there and try to explain it. He said they play an integral role because they also have to explain the rules. And I think that's a problem with the NFL because the rule book is so ridiculously thick and complicated and at times contradictory, in my opinion, and you have no idea what a catch is. You don't. I don't. Gene Steratore might not. We could have three totally different opinions on what a catch is. Defensive holding, defensive pass interference, so who pushed off? You know, all this stuff is so subjective that, yeah, you're going to get a little gray area. You're going to get a little bit of, you know, 50% love it, 50% hate it. I don't think that the NFL, like, fans really think this is all, like, the fix is in.
Well,
can we put a poll up, EJ? Yeah. Like, do you think the NFL's fixed? I don't know if you want to just rule word it that way, or do you think the Chiefs are getting
called? Well, put two polls up. Do you think the Chiefs get an officiating bias, yes or no? Yeah. I think most people think that's true. And you're right.
But is it home field? Yeah.
But I think it's also star. I mean, like, the Chiefs went on the road last year and got through it. I think it's also star treatment of Mahomes. But one thing, by the way, nobody thinks Roger Goodell is smart enough to write the script. I want to, like, that was a egotistical. I mean,
you're going to get us kicked out of here.
I mean, Roger Goodell, it's not writing the script. We all assume that there's somebody in a back room writing the script. So that was ridiculous for him to take credit for that. But also, too, I actually did not hear the thing about the officiating. But I hate the officiating experts because it's like hearing...
TV.
It's hearing... Yeah, they totally support their... You know, they were in a strong union for many years. They're not going to rip their cohorts. So it's very hard for, I think officiating people to be... objective. So they always favor whatever the call on the field was. I mean, come on. The thing about Roger Goodell, it's like it's not him per se, but the NFL is known liars. They've been lying about concussions or been trying to for 50 years.
Yeah.
They've been lying. You know, they're a huge corporation. Every huge corporation lies. That's their nature. You know, well, you think an oil company is getting up and saying, we love the environment? Like, do you take that stuff seriously? No. People are obviously smartly skeptical of giant companies, and the NFL is a giant company, so why would you trust them? I think by nature that no one's going to trust a $20 billion company.
Okay, so there's some data to back this up if you want. So, you know, Goodell's saying that it's, you know, ridiculous about the Chiefs and about them getting calls. Let me try to explain a graphic that was put up on TV by ESPN, which is one of the corporate partners of the NFL, someone they have a lot at stake together. Now, these are Chiefs playoff penalties since 2021. Mm-hmm. So we're not looking at the whole season here. Yes, the whole season, we know Josh Allen gets more calls. We know the Bills get more calls. We know that the Chiefs get flagged a lot. But we're just talking about playoff penalties since 2021. Chiefs have been called for 36 penalties. Opponents have been called for 66 penalties. Penalty yards. Chiefs have been flagged for 319 penalty yards. Opponents, 541 penalty yards. More penalties. Have the Chiefs had more penalties than their opponent in playoff games since 2021? Zero times they've had more penalties. Opponents have had more penalties 10 times. And more penalty yards. One time they had more penalty yards in a playoff game since 2021. And 10 times their opponents had more playoff yards since 2021. Again, that's numbers that are coming from a league partner of the NFL. That seems pretty stark. Now, as far as like the outcome being scripted, I totally think that that's ridiculous. But the Chiefs actually getting calls, it happens. I think this is in line with them getting so many home games. And let's call it what it is. The Bills are still ticked off about that 4th-and-1 call that Josh Allen appeared to pick up the first down. Two officials spot the ball in two different places. And I think that if you said it the moment it happened, if that game's in Buffalo, he's getting the first down. I don't know if they're winning the game, but he's getting the first down. And the drive continues. So I think that they should just kind of own up, like, home field advantage matters. They can't say that, but we all know that it's true.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Like, a lot of the calls are not on the home field, though. Like, the Super Bowl, like the PI on James Bradbury.
Some of those, but look at how many home games the Chiefs have had in the playoffs. This is what they get. This is to the victor goes the spoils. They keep winning so many games, and they're crushing their division that they get the number one seed. I know they didn't last year, and kudos to them. They went on the road, and they beat the Bills. They beat the Ravens, and they were awesome.
Where was the D Ford penalty?
That was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But that was before 2021.
Oh, so the fix started coming in 2021.
Can I tell you another thing that I don't think helps the NFL here? And you're welcome. EJ will tell us how he words the poll. Whether or not you think that the officials are really favoring the Chiefs. You know what I don't think helped them at all? I think last year the Taylor Swift stuff got a little like out of control with the Chiefs. And what I mean by that is, the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They were so excited about the idea of her bringing this new audience. This is all what the NFL is about. They want global dominance
right.
because they're always looking for new markets and new people to buy tickets and do all and raise ratings and all that, that they got so giddy and so excited about this gift that fell from their lap. This is like the Lakers getting Luka, just fell from the sky. You get a phone call one day. Wow, one of your most famous players is dating the most famous pop star on earth. And they got so excited about it, they gave her free advertising. The networks were showing her all the time in the luxury suite. And the fact they went on to win the Super Bowl that year, it all felt a little too perfect, a little too fairy tale, when we know professional sports isn't always like that. So I don't think the league helped themselves when they leaned into Taylor in the way they did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that feels like an oversimplification, though, because it feels like yeah, maybe it's just Taylor. That should be a poll question, too. Is the reason that they favor the Chiefs because of Taylor Swift? I think it's more Kelce Mahomes. I think it's Mahomes is a big way. Like, just for some reason, Mahomes seems to get all the calls.
Okay.
I think that I'd like to see, like, the Chiefs bias, how tied into it is Taylor Swift. Is that, I want people to call in and say, do you think it's because of Taylor Swift? I feel like watching the Chiefs, and it's also, we got to remember, it's her style of play. Like, you can push the button on getting calls. Like,
sure. Now, to be fair, data says this year Josh Allen got more roughing the passer calls than Mahomes did. Right. And, you know, that Josh Allen has gotten more. And by the way, both of them are not the top of the league. So they both play this sort of way where they kind of bait they try to bait the opponent into these roughing calls on the sidelines and stuff like that. Now, Roger Goodell was also asked yesterday, would he try to penalize flopping like the NBA has done?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, how would you define it? Like, he didn't really seem like that was a road he wanted to go down. But I think they should explore it.
But I don't think actually fans go into this much detail. Like, they're not, like, sitting and analyzing at home. They're just watching the game and saying, oh, that was a bad call. The Chiefs, NFL, fixed again. Yeah. I think, like, there's so many fans who talk like that and think like that. So many friends of mine are like, well, how are we going to Eagles fans, like, how are we going to overcome the Chiefs officials thing? Like, I don't think anyone's analyzing or look at the numbers. It's just a vibe that's out there in the country, and to ignore it is crazy. And to laugh at it by Roger Goodell, yeah, of course the NFL does that, but I don't. I think there's some dissonance between what the NFL is saying and even what you're saying and what the average fan thinks. I think the average fan, for whatever reason, it's become a snowball. They don't need to see the numbers. They don't need to see talk about home field or talk about the roughing the passer. Like, they just think it's fixed. I think everybody just thinks, oh, man, the Chiefs are here again. That's just the way Sports America feels right now. I'm getting that vibe everywhere.
You know, maybe it's a little bit of piggyback, though, because you saw the Patriots get some favorable calls, and it's sort of like, you know, and I don't even know about the data.
Where did the Patriots
get Tuck rule and things like that, where it felt like, you know, Pats were maybe getting a couple calls here and there through their dynasty, so it's like a continuation of that. I'm not sure. Again, Pats had a lot of home games.
I don't remember the Pats getting calls. I remember they should have called in the clutch in the grass for Eli. I mean, this is,
but the Tuck rule is one of the most famous.
Tuck rule, that was one, yeah.
That was a really huge one. It started the dynasty.
Yeah, but that, I don't remember throughout the dynasty. That was 2001 for 20 years. Like, I don't remember us sitting talking about the Patriots getting to all the calls because the NFL hated the Patriots. Like, they openly,
despised them. Well,
they took Tom Brady's phone.
Yeah.
I mean, they abhorred there was never any love loss. The 32 teams, the most disliked by the NFL was clearly the Patriots by a mile. So I don't think that conspiracy worked the same way. The Chiefs are the nice guys. Like, it's like a nice, wholesome Midwest team, and the NFL has embraced it all. And then you're right, you add in Taylor Swift, it's like, boom, this is our perfect representative. I think it's also the Chiefsness of it all.
Okay, EJ, we got a poll question out there. How did you decide to word this one? We're asking you, do you basically think that the Chiefs get calls? How'd you put this?
So I did the first version you guys went with, or the second version. So it was, do you think the Chiefs benefit from an officiating bias?
Okay.
Right now we're at 82% say yes.
Up the poll 2 seconds ago.
And me and Perloff were like doing like kind of like a little wager on like what it would be.
The landslide?
And we pretty much were right here. I said, I think he's at 80. I think it's 85.
So here's the thing, though. That's why context matters, because you have to ask, why do you think they get a bias? Is it because they're good? Is it because they're home field? Is it because of Taylor? Like, why do you think they get the bias?
Yes.
We had a follow-up question to the poll. You can tell us at 855-212-4227 if you are somebody who thinks that the Chiefs get this bias. Why? because we're witnessing a Chiefs backlash that a lot of fans that we're talking to, including Trooper Mike, who's here with us, who's keeping us safe and all that stuff, who said he didn't want to see the Chiefs. Diamond out Trooper Mike. He didn't want to see the Chiefs. A lot of people wanted some new blood. So, you know, they're essentially, if you think they're helping the Chiefs, they're helping a team that a lot of people didn't even want to see in this game.
Well, I think it is our duty as members of the media to bring this topic up as much as possible so the Eagles get a call on Sunday. E-A-G. I think there is a big chunk of Philly media who's like, well, let's bring this up every day. It's kind of like how Phil Jackson used to work the officials between NBA Finals game. I feel like everybody is sort of working the officials. And I do actually, one thing about officiating, like a lot happens before the game. Like I do think like the coaches call and the teams call, the presidents call and say, hey, are you going to call this call in the game? So like it isn't. Like, officials come in with biases. Like, they say, hey, we're going to emphasize a legal procedure in this game. So I do think the Eagles are going to probably send a video to the NFL saying, look, they're letting the left tackle on the Chiefs get away with this. Remember when the left tackles on the Chiefs were setting, like, 2 yards back from the line of scrimmage?
They're still the most penalized players in the league.
Yeah. And
Juwan Taylor, he's the most penalized left tackle in the
league. The Chiefs are like, well, we're going to keep doing it, and they can't call it every time. So there's also the matter of that. It's kind of like the Seattle Seahawks, the Legion of Boom. They're like, we are going to be so physical in the defensive backfield that the officials are going to get tired of calling it. So there are all sorts of little games that go on here, and I think that's why it's a topic. And I'm saying that and not in a sort of conspiracy way. I do think that there's a lot that goes into these officials. Like, I think the teams work it as they should.
They should. But that also then becomes like the human bias, right? Like,
right.
You not call this call because you don't want, you know, Andy Reid all over you.
Yes.
Nick Sirianni screaming.
That's
at
part
you.
Of it, too.
855-212-4227. They're human after all. Okay. If you think the Chiefs, first of all, do you think the Chiefs are getting a bias from the referees? And if so, why?
Oh, I mean, we
there's
don't.
There's plenty of
you
stars.
You kind of convinced me why. I was like, I don't know why. Oh, Taylor Swift, right. But also, too. Mahomes, he's a big, big star. He's in a lot of commercials. A
lot of commercials. Lamar Jackson is a star.
Michael
Josh
Jordan
Allen
got
is
every
a star.
Michael Jordan got every call.
Well, that's
something
too.
To consider here.
Okay, we are live for Radio Row in New Orleans. Get it kicked off with a little of the commissioner of the NFL having to answer questions about the game being rigged towards the Chiefs. This is the second year in a row he's had to answer questions about that. And considering all the gambling sponsorships and all of that, he's got to answer those questions. He says it's ridiculous. Ridiculous that the Chiefs get calls. What do you think? 855-212-4227. Awesome show today. Our guests are starting today. And it's going to be an avalanche of amazing people coming through. We're excited about that. We've also got some Charles Barkley sound for you. We've got Micah Parsons talking about crazy stuff. We'll get to it all.
Come on,
it's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. I almost feel bad for NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, Maggie.
I don't.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Fine.
I'll tell you why. He laughed off the officiating question, the bias towards the Chiefs.
Yeah.
This could very well be a close game. It's a 1.5-point spread. You know there's going to be a critical call. If this Super Bowl on Sunday comes down to an officiating mistake, I'm going to laugh so hard at Roger Goodell. And that does not prove
you think
bias.
He's setting himself up.
Yeah, it does not prove bias one way or the other. But let's face it, the game moves so fast now, and the games are so close at this level. Like when I was a kid, Super Bowls were blowouts. Now they come down to the last play all the time. It is going to be high comedy because I don't think he laughed off the question. He compared the officiating bias question to the script. The idea that the NFL scripts the whole season. I don't think people are laughing. I looked at the poll results. We put up a poll. Do you think the Chiefs benefit from an officiating bias? It's down to 79% from 82% say yes. But I just think the officiating is like, it's going to get a lot of eyeballs.
Well, I think you're also forgetting how much the NFL or the officials got bailed out 2 Super Bowls ago. The first time we had Eagles Chiefs.
How'd they get bailed out?
Because
everyone thought they might not have made that call.
No, because James Bradbury gets called for a very important defensive holding call that basically, you know, led to a Chiefs score that almost determined the outcome of the game, right?
What do you mean, almost?
That determined the outcome of the game, and afterwards Bradbury said, I held him.
If Bradbury had
said, that is crap, I didn't
got
do it,
it. Yep.
It's a bias, then we would have talked about that for a long time.
Yeah.
But James Bradbury sat in his locker and said, you know what, I held him. So what were we going to do, get all riled up on his behalf? He said he committed the foul. Okay, so do you think the Chiefs have enjoy a bias from the officials? Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. KJ's in Milwaukee. KJ, what do you think, dude?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, folks. I believe that there is definitely a bias for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I say that because I believe the storyline is built around partially the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift effect. Mm-hmm. And also the Patrick Mahomes, the idea that he could possibly take over the moniker of being the GOAT, if you will, of the league.
Yep.
By continuing to win Super Bowls. And I think that the referee analysts do no favors for the league and the idea of there being a bias, the way that they try and explain away some of the calls that are blatantly wrong. And the way that, you know, that they inject, you know, their opinions on something that, you know, is clearly not the case. So,
KJ, fantastic call,
that,
fantastic points, and I want to touch on two of them that you brought up, and thank you for it, because you made two great points. We talk about Mahomes' popularity, but KJ brings up a really good twist on that. Josh Allen is popular. Joe Burrow is popular. Aaron Rodgers is popular. All these guys are popular, but nobody is challenging Brady for greatest of all time. Mm. That's what Mahomes has. Allen's not doing that. Lamar's not doing that, despite the two MVPs. Maybe he should be. You know, Matthew Stafford isn't doing that. So the fact that Mahomes is challenging Brady, that leads to more of the calls. That's an interesting twist. And I think KJ is also right. And you say this all the time, the rules experts who are on TV never disagree with the guys on the field, the men and women on the field, so it feels like they're biased also. I think that's why we appreciate Aikman and Romo, at least. Those two will call it out and say, I disagree, that's a terrible call.
Come on, Daddy.
Well, I think also some of them are good. I think Blandino's great, and I think Pereira's pretty good. The original Fox guys nailed it. And then everyone tried to copy those guys and failed. Like they only last a year or two because fans can smell out fake. The Tom Brady's a problem. There was a play in the Commanders game where Dallas Goedert got clearly mugged in the end zone. They should have called, and he supported the call, and that had everyone go to Twitter. Wait, what's the rule again with Tom Brady and his ownership? He's actually not supposed to criticize the officials. So that is going to be adding to this. You think it's bad to have Dean Blandino or Mike Pereira or not? Like, Tom Brady's calling the game, and you're right. He's not going to do what Romo and Aikman do because he has an ownership stake in the Raiders. He can't call out a bad call.
Yeah, he literally can't. Like, they can't criticize the officials publicly. It's, like, very much against the ethos of being a team owner.
Wait, there's a degree, right? He's like supposed to go to a certain level. Didn't he have to? I think there was a story he had to check with the NFL about, did I go too far there?
Well, Roger Goodell actually mentioned it yesterday. He was asked a question about Brady and calling games and also being, you know, as Pete Carroll said in his press conference when he took over as the Raiders head coach, Tom Brady is intimately involved here. And we knew that. He is calling a lot of the shots in Las Vegas and also now calling the Super Bowl. How could he, you know, do this without his own bias? And Goodell said yesterday, Brady calls me after every game. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
That doesn't help Tom Brady.
Well, how so?
The commissioner.
What do you mean?
Well, first, is he asking him, did I do what? So now Goodell is telling him, hey, ease up on Cleet Blakeman? Like, I don't. So Goodell is now, you know, this. If you think that if you are the greatest of all time quarterback, you should have a little latitude to call the game the way you want to call it. Isn't that what Fox is paying for? Aren't they paying for him to, like, bless us with his infinite knowledge about the game?
Yeah, no, this is ridiculous. And it just points to this idea that he can't be objective again. Or he can't, you know, if he sees a bad call, he's got to call it out. You know, I wonder, I hope this happens, because I like awkward. I know you do too. What if there's just a third quarter, fourth quarter, they miss a pass interference call, it happens, the game is 100 miles per hour. I would love to see Tom Brady have to call out a bad call. Wouldn't that be amazing?
He just won't.
I mean, he might. I think he will go further than you think in this Super Bowl because I think he knows there is pressure on him.
Well, but here's the thing. Calling out a bad call, 50% of the people are going to think it's not a bad call. This is
No. Like
sometimes.
An openly bad call.
Yeah.
Like the one, like, for example, on the walkover, we're talking about the pass interference against the Ravens in the Bills win. Like,
yeah,
that was
Keon Coleman and Tre'Davious
White. Yeah, that was a joke when you saw it in slow-mo. And actually, I didn't understand how the official saw pass interference on the defense when the receiver clearly extended his arms and pushed him to the ground. So, like, an obvious back call. Because it happens in the NFL. You've officiated, what did you call softball?
I was certified up to JV boys and girls baseball and softball.
I used to do a lot of intramural basketball. I was wildly guessing. It's just, and that was intramural basketball. There's just too fast to call in real time. And so officiating is by nature going to be an imperfect science. I just think that part of this is fans expect it to be perfect now because there's so much technology. And the reality is that's not going to happen.
Man, I just want to have like a merch line or something where it's just a t-shirt that just says, I'm wildly guessing Andrew Perloff.
Oh, my God. Well, by the way, anticipation calls in basketball, that is the realest thing ever. Guys, during play the right, you just immediately get that whistle up to your mouth. And like, they might not touch him, but that whistle already sounded. What am I supposed to do? Two shots.
Man, keeping it on the level. Okay, so you can call us up 855-212-4227. Do you think the Chiefs enjoy an officiating bias? And if so, what do you think is the biggest reason that they enjoy this bias? Andrew Bogish is with us on this fine Tuesday. Hey, Bogues.
Mom, Dad, good morning. Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Bogus. The Mavericks trading Luka Doncic has had many victims, including Patrick Mahomes.
It's tough, you know, because I feel like I've watched Luka since he was 18 years old. I remember going to a practice and it was Dirk and Luka and seeing his maturation and how great of a basketball player he's became. It's been fun to watch, and as a Dallas fan, it hurts me. But I'm happy for him that he's going to be able to go out there and be in LA and get to try to achieve his dream of winning a championship.
The Chiefs QB did add on Super Bowl opening night that he's excited for his Mavs moving forward with Anthony Davis. And now Mahomes' attention returns to Sunday, and specifically Eagles stud D lineman Jalen Carter.
Got to rely on my teammates, man. You know, it's going to take everybody. I mean, that dude's a great football player. But we'll have a good game plan on trying to do whatever we can to get protection to him. But you got to account for that whole defensive line.
Carter, a huge reason the Eagles' D is first in points allowed and efficiency since week 8. Outside New Orleans, the Texans hiring Rams passing game coordinator Nick Caley as offensive coordinator. He replaces the fire Bobby Slowick. Caley's been in L.A. the last two seasons after 6 years as Patriots tight ends coach. Devin Booker became the Suns' all-time leading scorer last night in Portland, but this also happened.
One more for Booker to try and tie the game. He missed it! Ayton with the rebound! He's fouled with 3.2 to play! Devin Booker was 13 of 13 from the free throw line, and he missed it!
Travis Demers on Blazers Radio. Booker's missed free throw, allowing Portland to escape with a 121-119 OT win, extending their win streak to 4.
Man, if you had asked, who do you think is the Suns' all-time leading scorer, do you think you would have went to Booker? He has been there a long time now. I would have went to Steve Nash, probably.
Oh, I would have gone to Walter Davis.
Yeah.
Paul Westphal.
I don't know why I'm surprised by that.
Sean Marion.
Amari.
Who's number two?
They weren't there long enough.
Who's number two?
Come on, man.
I don't think it was Chuck. What else you got, folks?
The other thing that I saw last night that surprised me was Andrew Wiggins passed Chris Mullin. Not for first, but he has more threes as a Warrior than Chris Mullin did.
Those guys didn't shoot that many threes.
No, I know, but it just feels like Wiggins has been a Warrior for like 4 days.
Really? It just speaks to like the way the NBA is so different now. Because Chris Mullin was seen as arguably the greatest shooter on the planet when he was playing, but he probably made 2 threes a game.
Yeah, on a good night.
Sometimes 1 3 a game. And, you know, it's bizarre.
We actually got into a big Andrew Wiggins conversation yesterday on the way to the Alligator
Farm. Oh, what a day.
We will get to later in the show. It's fun to ride with us.
Maggie, blink twice if you need help.
a solid hour to get to the Alligator Farm. Such a wide-ranging conversation about Andrew Wiggins.
It was not an informed conversation about Andrew Wiggins. He's one of those guys. He's scoring 17 points a game this year. We're like, is he still in the NBA? By the way, they did. He did pass Walter Davis.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, can
Greyhound.
I ask?
Greyhound.
Did the conversation begin with Andrew Wiggins, or were you talking about 19 other things and then had to get to Andrew Wiggins just to fill the rest of the time?
No, we were trying to figure out where Jimmy or where LeBron should play next.
Yeah.
And that led to the Warriors, where how do you fit Andrew Wiggins and LeBron together? That's how it was even worse than you think, Bogus.
Yeah, I was afraid at that point our Uber driver, Rodell, was going to fall asleep and drive off the road just because that conversation was so colossally boring.
He literally
boring.
Did. We were on some random side road. We didn't know where we were.
Yeah, that was we had to really get out there to get to that Gator Farm, which, by the way, I think they kind of shortchanged themselves by just calling themselves a Gator Farm, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Our top five moments from the Gator Farm yesterday.
All right, more basketball from last night. The Grizzlies have now won 9-10, 128-109 winners over the Spurs last night. Ja Morant, 25 and 11 assists after they're missing two games with a sore right shoulder. The Pacer win streak is 4 after a 112-111 final in Utah, and the Nuggets top the Pels 125-113. Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists. Major League Baseball fired umpire Pat Hoberg yesterday over betting concerns. No evidence that he bet on or influenced games, but he was sharing an account with a friend who bet on the sport, and Hoberg deleted pertinent texts between them at the beginning of the investigation.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Is that bad?
Time out.
Yeah.
Is that wrong? Who shares an account?
That I don't understand either. And this is not the first time we've had this problem. And then also deleting things is never a good look.
Yeah, I feel like Calvin Ridley or someone, maybe Jameson Williams, someone else who got one of the players, so they share an account. Why would you ever share your betting account with someone? Anyone? Pearl off your
Shohei,
team,
I don't know.
I share
a fantasy football.
I share
team
fantasy football, multiple.
Yeah,
fantasy
if Shohei
football.
Only knew that he was sharing that account, he was in the dark.
I've actually shared elimination pool stuff with friends. Maybe like you go down that road, eventually you get to betting. Have you ever done an elimination pool with friends?
I have.
Where you've got a teammate because the cost is too much?
Well, that wasn't why, but yeah, I mean, we did it once on the show that I was on, but I don't have, like, my, let's say, DraftKings account also, like, you're not on it.
Yeah.
But I could sign into Yahoo or CBS Sports and share a team. They have a share a team function, but I don't know
credit
if
credit card's not in.
Yeah,
there.
I don't. Yeah, you're right,
you
I
have
think.
To give these accounts your social security number. You got to give them everything.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, it goes back to our earlier conversation. If baseball's fixed, why can't an NFL official be fixed? By the way, I just said it's time. But no.
Allegedly.
But listen, NBA had Tim Donaghy. There's a lot. Yeah. I did think we're in obviously a danger zone. That's a crazy headline.
That's
I did not see
headline.
That. I'm surprised that's not making more waves.
I know. I didn't. Maybe we're just like in our New Orleans bubble a little bit. I didn't see it either.
Put the Andrew Wiggins conversations away and read a website, guys.
No, never. We will talk about Andrew Wiggins until we drive off the road.
Is Andrew Wiggins like our like anxiety convo now? Like we're all scared going to the Alligator Farm. So anytime we have something nervous happening, we'll be like, hey, how about Andrew Wiggins? Are you still in the NBA? Took a lot to get it to that point.
Yeah.
Longtime Florida State men's basketball coach Leonard Hamilton stepping down after this season. He is the program's all-time leader in wins, top five in that category in ACC history. But he's also being sued by six former players who say he did not make good on NIL promises. On the court last night, number 16 Kansas smothering eighth-ranked Iowa State 69-52. And women's number 10 Duke had its five-game win streak end with an 89-83 loss at number 14 NC State. Guys, back to you.
Bogues, by the way, thanks so much. Yeah.
Bogues, I saw Jalen Carter on the street yesterday. I told Maggie this. If I'm the right or left guard of Kansas City, I'm calling out sick. I've never seen a man who just walked down the street in a strip mall with more violence. Not in like a bad, like he didn't look like he was violent. Like he is the perfect human. He's like a mountain that moves and he doesn't have any body fat. His head is alone. Like he is a monster.
So I know the story a little bit. So Pearl, you were jogging, right?
I was jogging, yeah.
Right. And I can just imagine that you were jogging and you see a couple Eagles players. It wasn't just Jalen Carter.
Yeah, it was Nolan Smith and I didn't recognize a third.
And you just like all of a sudden you like slow your jogging down to like basically a walk as you're actually just staring at these guys.
Full disclosure, I was not jogging. I was doing a stretch, a pre-stretch run. So I was wearing short shorts and I had my leg up on a bench. Huh. And so Jalen Carter probably looked and said, you know, I can kind of see too much there, Perloff.
Yeah, this is a snapshot that Andrew Bogish is intimately familiar
yes.
with.
And then I did some hip.
Emphasis on it intimately. Yes.
Then I showed I did
PTSD.
Some hip thrust towards Nolan
What's
Smith.
What's the D yeah. for?
I'm not gonna lie, they judged me. They like that. Actually, no.
Yeah, of course yeah. they did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was, you know, Nolan Smith looked at me like, "Wow, what a nerd," which was
Let's go
pretty
stuff
cool.
that guy in a locker.
But no, Jalen Carter looked all business. He looked like he was in game mode Monday shopping. Like I'm telling you, that guy's gonna have a big game based on this 1 second interaction.
Yeah, is he gonna have based on that interaction or you know? His whole career.
His skill set.
Yeah. So it's been an eventful couple days here in New Orleans. We'll get more into, again, the Alligator Farm yesterday. That was a day that I'll remember for the rest of my life, to put it mildly. Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we do have some sound from Charles Barkley that must be played. Charles really going off on what he thinks is at stake for the future of the Lakers. We get to that next. It's M&P.
But they do have some big old women.
Welcome back. Maggie Perloff, live in New Orleans. Still dealing with a little of the fallout, and we will for a while, of the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers. Charles Barkley talking on ESPN says the Lakers now should pivot after getting Luka, Pearl, and convince LeBron James accept a trade.
I would have a conversation. LeBron, where could we trade you this year or next year where you have a legit shot to win the championship and we get a good couple pieces or some good draft pick? I think that has to be on the table.
More from Barkley says the Lakers need to build for the future because they are not a title contender.
The Lakers are not going to win the championship in the next 2 years. It's not going to happen with the Lakers. The Lakers are mediocre at best. They're not a contender, because now they got to start stockpiling assets to help Luka going down the road.
Okay, so that's Barkley. Mm-hmm. Perloff, you agree with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually, I think he's a little harsher. I don't think they're mediocre. I just think the West is so loaded. Like, I think LeBron and Luka are going to be good together. I disagree with Barkley in the sense that they're going to win a lot of regular season games. Just getting out of that West is going to be so hard. I just don't think in the next 2 years they can do it. But I don't agree that they're mediocre. I think they're better than that. I just think they're better teams. The Thunder, I think the Nuggets are going to be tough. I think you have so many good teams in the West. Can you imagine LeBron and Luka finding the right formula to get through it? I think it's just too hard.
I could see, like, I want to see it. I'm going to be honest. I'm pretty intrigued. I don't know if they can play together. Now, LeBron, to his credit, has played with a lot of different types of stars. So I should be giving him maybe the benefit of the doubt that he has been able to win with multiple different, in different eras, with different teams and different stars. But I just wonder, I think there's something about LeBron where, and rightfully so, I think at the end of the game, he used to want to pass. That was early, early LeBron. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he wants to do that anymore. I really think that he wants the ball in his hands. Let's say it is a play-in game or it's a game 6 or a game 7. I think LeBron wants the ball in his hands. I think he still believes that he's earned that. So, and I think Luka definitely wants the ball in his hands. And I don't know if that's, you know, they'd probably be lucky to get to that situation if we're arguing about who's taking the last shot in a game 7 in a playoff series. It's probably a good place for the Lakers to be. But I think LeBron still wants the ball in his hands at the crucial moments.
I think it's a no-brainer. That's Luka's time. I don't even think it's a discussion. I think LeBron will stand off to the side. LeBron likes to stand off to the side, by the way. He does not need the ball.
That's an old narrative with LeBron.
Remember I went to that Lakers-Knicks game right before last year's Super Bowl. I remember this so much. There were so many sets that they ran where LeBron started talking to Maverick Carter on the sideline while the Lakers had the ball. I'm not kidding.
That's not a playoff game for a while.
Right, but I'm just saying that the Lakers had all these, this was a former coach, had these sets that were non-LeBron plays because they wanted to get the other guys involved. It's not, there are no non-Luka sets in Dallas. There were none. It was Luka, 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 Luka. I just think LeBron will be more comfortable at 40 being complimentary. It doesn't make sense. Like, of course it's going to be Luka with the ball in his hand at the end of the game.
I don't think it's a no-brainer. We're not talking about, you know, a 40-year-old past his prime. You know, we're watching still one of the greatest, if not the greatest, player of all time. So
but sort of past his prime-ish. Well, you
past
give me
his prime-ish, but I'm watching him throw down tomahawk dunks at the Garden on Saturday night. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's not playing defense in the way that he used to. He's trying to save his body a little bit more and all that, but I don't see offensively, I think he still believes that he can get to the rim whenever he needs to. Or, you know, sometimes he starts settling for jumpers. I don't think he's going to necessarily want to give that up to Luka.
Well, his minutes are way down this year. He's at 34 minutes a game. I mean, again, I think you're in a little bit of a blind spot thinking LeBron will never age. And I get why
blind
you would think that.
Blind spot of just watching the games.
Yeah, yeah, I don't agree. I think at a certain point, like, he will defer this.
Can I also bring up another point? So everyone's bending over backwards to say that LeBron didn't know about this trade, right? Had no clue about the trade. So do you think he's going to start, if they say that's true, which I think it's BS, but let's say it is true that LeBron didn't know about the trade, never signed off on the trade.
Right.
I'm sure he's happy about it. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, he did. I mean, listen, a lot of people would want to play with Anthony Davis, too.
He did.
Because of defense,
he specifically, like, they made it so messy leaving New Orleans, a city we're in right now, that they tried to get Anthony Davis out of there like 2 years before he hit free agency. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if LeBron didn't sign off on it, I mean, we know he's going to say he'll play nice, but do you really think that did he want to play with Luka? Do we know he wants
to play
with
Luka?
Of course, they might love each other, Perloff, but loving someone from afar and then being their teammate and having to rely on them in crunch time and vice versa, very different dynamic, different relationship.
Oh my God.
And that kind of stuff, I think, takes a minute.
Listen, LeBron has played with J.R. Smith and D'Angelo Russell. This Luka's no problem.
There was no question of who was the alpha between J.R. Smith and LeBron James.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell thought he was the alpha, actually, in reality.
Well,
but yes.
There was even a question between LeBron and Dwayne Wade their first year in Miami, and Wade had to basically be like, dude, you go. You take it. We're only going to win if you are the one who's the focal point, not me. So, long story short, it takes a minute to figure this stuff out.
Right, but I mean, LeBron's scoring is down. This is his lowest scoring season since his rookie season. I mean, he's definitely, like, he is pulling back a little bit. I know he has tomahawk dunks, but he's got to save it a bit.
Like, well, I'm just thinking about the playoffs. I'm fast forwarding.
Yeah, I know, but
the regular
season
no longer matters for someone of his caliber.
I don't think he's going to be. Yeah, I mean, I understand he's still awesome, but I don't think he's going to be 40 minutes a dominant game dominant LeBron in this year's playoffs. I think he is going to pick and choose his spots, and it's hard. You know, playoffs are brutal too.
Yeah.
There aren't that many off days. So anyway, I also agree with Charles. I don't think it's going to come down to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals and they're going to have a choice. I just wonder if they have enough defense. But, you know, the trade deadline's Thursday. Maybe they add something, maybe a big man.
So I wonder, like, LeBron would have to agree to a trade, right?
Yeah.
Like, is this something where he's going to want to say, all right, trade me to the Warriors or trade me to, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Barkley said the Warriors and the Spurs. And I got to tell you, everyone's like, ooh, LeBron on the Spurs. Sign up for that.
Yeah,
if we could make that happen today, I think NBA Nation would say yes.
So the Spurs already traded for De'Aaron Fox. That's a cool pairing with Wemby. You know, we'll see.
That's okay. It's not LeBron.
But are they even, I don't know if people even think the Spurs are a playoff team this year. Aren't they a little, wouldn't that be ahead of schedule?
They're at least in the play. Yeah, right now they're a playoff team.
But
does the timeline match up? Well, if you add LeBron, maybe. I don't know. Why not? Okay, they're not even a playing team. Sorry,
yeah,
they're 21-26. You're right. That is not a title contender. But it'd be awesome. I mean, Barkley's theory was that he would teach Wemby how to play.
Fine, but I think, look, don't you think LeBron, does he still want to win?
They
still
can
want
win.
To rip off another title, or do you think he's just playing for the love of the game?
You have De'Aaron Fox, LeBron James, Wemby. Maybe next year you add one more piece. Is that not good enough to be a contender? Wemby, within the next 2 years?
I mean, yeah, 2 years. That would be the other thing. Charles Barkley said the Lakers should try to trade LeBron James this year or next year. It's like, what are you trading for? How many more years do you think he's going to play?
So
and
wait,
does Bronny have to come?
Let me ask you real quick. Do you agree? So you do not agree that LeBron and Luka cannot play together, like Charles said?
I think it's going to be a challenge.
Okay.
I'm not penciling it in for, like, oh, wow, this is just going to be really seamless. When have they ever played together? It's not. They don't even have, like, the Olympic team or any other time when they may have gotten familiar with each other's game.
Then why aren't people worried about AD and Kyrie?
They at least played with each other on Team USA.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. It's not nothing. Coming up, Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp, both on the trade block. We'll get to that next.